on continued topic what we were discussing last time. If you have one pot, could you put food on top of that pot? If you have a cholent pot, a chicken soup pot, or something like that on the fire, could you put food on top of that? That's what we call Kadir al-Gabi Kadir. So he had two opinions in Siv Zion. Not clear. Sounded like Yish usually follow the we usually follow the second opinion. The second opinion says it's Asur. So I would think at this point you cannot take food from the fridge or a challah, you can't take a piece of challah or whatever and put it on top of the crock pot to heat up. So now look in Sifcha. So he says the same sort of thing in this sif. If you have something cold that's fully cooked and you want to put it al gabei mecham on top of a hot urn, sha'al ha'etz, that's on top of the fire. Yesh umrim shadino k'minichol k'neged medra. V'kol dvar shemutar l'anichol k'neged medra. M'makos she'atzal le'debo k'yon yavesh mutar l'anichol gabei mecham sha'al ha'etz. The first opinion again says mutar. You're allowed to do it because it's not exactly on the fire. Shalom, Roberto. Shalom, Adam, everybody here. Shalom. So it's good to see everybody back. So the idea is we're discussing Kadir al Gabi Kadir. If you have food or a pot on top of another pot, could you do that? Could you do that initially on Shabbat, like taking food out of the fridge and a kugel, a schnitzel, taking them out and putting them on top of the crock pot or a challah on top of the crock pot? So the first opinion, Shulchan Aruch, is that's fine. Because it's like you're putting it next to the fire. It doesn't look like you're cooking. If you put it into a Kli Rishon on the fire, that looks like cooking. But on top of a different pot, it doesn't look like a normal way to cook. Second opinion says it's a problem. It looks like you're cooking. So now, what's the rule? The general rules we said is Yesh V'Yesh, two opinions, Shulchan Aruch. First opinion says mutar. Second opinion says asur. Usually we do yesh yesh halacha kebatra. The second yesh happens to be over here though. General tells you his opinion. He says rishon irikar. This is how we know for sure. Kadir al gabi kadir. One pot on top of the other pot, or putting food on top of a pot is mutar for Shulchan Aruch, because he tells you I follow the first opinion. It's not just the achronim. You see it clear in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, but then he adds on, it's only true when it's like a food, but not when it's a liquid. If it has liquid and the liquid's not hot, that's already a problem. Okay? That's just a review of what we discussed last time. And you see the Shulchan Aruch is clearly posek l'hakel on that question. Okay, any questions so far on and anything we've done so far with the tea, the coffee, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni? Yes. Shulchan Aruch is Mekel with Kadir al Gabi Kadir. Yes. Yes. So okay, so if you have Shabbat morning, you have food that you want to take out, you want to heat up, what you could definitely do is you could either put it on top of a crock pot, you could put it on top of chicken soup that's on top of the fire. All those are not looking like you're cooking. Not only that, okay, obviously, we also hold like Chacham Avadya in Yechavadad in many places, and in Yebiomers, in Chazon Avadya, you can use the hot plate. The electric hot plate we consider is not considered looking like cooking. And therefore, even though you could cook, but nobody cooks that way, and therefore it's not considered Pram Hachzara. They talk about warming draws, Machloket, but Lamaasem, I think most postgame are Mekel with the warming draws specifically, because I heard that Rav David Yosef was Mekel with the warming draw, not the oven, but the warming draw. Because it looks like to people, it heats up the food, it doesn't cook. If you want to do the ovens, with Shimon, we discussed the other time how to do that. You have to put in some tray on the bottom to make some sort of heker to show that it's not the normal way. A warming drawer. So I think the warming drawers are evident, are clear to people that they don't cook in there. You just heat up. What do you say? So then I think it'll be mutar, according to Chacham Avadya. Fun. Now let's go to Sif Yud, and then what I wanted to, we're going to discuss a few things today. We're just going over some of the basics, and then we're going to finish Bishul this time, and then we'll discuss Borer, maybe we'll discuss the Hakdamah to Borer, but we'll discuss Borer next time, hopefully. So Sif Yud in Shulchan Aruch. Asur l'tein tavlin b'kara l'arod aleim a kli rishon. You can't take spices and put them in a kli rishon. You can't even do it the other way around. Not only that, you can't even do iroi kli rishon. You can't pour from a kli rishon onto the spices. The reason is because pouring, there's a three-way machlokas rishonim. How do you look at iroi, pouring? Is there a connection between the hot source and the heat, which is a kli rishon, and the water that's pouring in the air? Or do we look at that as cold? So everybody knows kli rishon is the heat source that's going to cook. Kli sheni, when it lands in the second thing, it doesn't cook. But what about in the air? So that's a machlok rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam says it cooks like kli rishon. Rabbi Ashbam says it doesn't cook. It's like kli sheni. And the middle opinion, the opinion that we really follow is kedei klipa. It cooks a little bit, a peel. Okay? So it cooks a little bit. The first impact of the iroi makes it cook. Okay? So that, therefore, if you have water from the urn, you can't press the, let's say, hot water urn. You press the button on top, water starts coming off. You can't do that directly onto the tea leaves because that's not kli sheni. That's just iroi kli rishon. And iroi kli rishon says over here in Shulchan Aruch, we're afraid it might cook. Okay? Is this making sense? All right, so now, Mishnah Berurah. He says, in Mishnah Berurah Ayin Dal, he says, even though spices are not kali b'shul, they don't get cooked very easily. After tavlin, imi b'shul b'kli sheni, they don't get cooked very easily, so I'd say this should be okay, yiroi. Mikol mokom yiroi b'kli sheni, kamalan shum v'ashel k'dei kli, but we're strict about pouring. Pouring, we assume, is like the cooking itself, at least k'dei kli, but a thickness of a peel. Afel b'dievet asurim yiroi lehen, if it was an unbroken stream, we assume for sure that's considered irui kdei klipa. Okay? Now, what do you say? This is not here in Shulchan Aruch, I'll just try to find it, but it's definitely in all the Acharonim. What do you say about a solid item? Like what they call davar gush, a solid, thick item, like a hot potato. Could you take cold ketchup or mustard and put it on hot potato or hot french fry? Or anything like that. If you have cholent on your plate, could you put the cholent right next to the salad? Right? So I have green beans or whatever. I have raw salad, and I put it right next to the cholent. So I'm pouring the cholent onto my plate. It's very hot, the chamin. And it's spilling over into the salad. Or do I have to make a machitza? I have to separate on my plate. Kugel on this side. Kugel is the mechitza. I have the salad on this side and the chamin on that side. What do we say? Shimon, yeah. Shimon, you're right, but why? What's the reasoning? Iroi. Pouring is going to... So this is... Ah. So good. We said before, kli sheni doesn't cook except kali b'shul. Things are very soft. Okay, we don't assume that's so many things. Okay, very good. Now, there's the opinion of the Maharshal. The opinion of the Maharshal, he was the cousin of the Rama. He had a big harifut against Shulchan Aruch. But he was a tremendous posek in the 1500s. And he wrote several works on the Gemara. In his Hakdama Tehul, he writes, how everybody should take their Shulchan Aruch and throw in the garbage. You shouldn't have Shulchan Aruch because it's harifut. Because, he said, it caused people not to learn Torah properly. They're going to, instead of learning the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot, Rambam, everybody else, they're going to just learn Shulchan Aruch. They're going to learn the easy way out. So they should not learn Shulchan Aruch. Lemaaseh, we don't follow Marshall's approach to Halacha. Yeah, okay. Fine. So we have here, the Marshal said, if you have a solid item, we consider that to be like, not like a kli sheni, even if it's in a kli sheni, we consider it to be like kli rishon. It still retains the heat of the kli rishon. So it's a big chiddush. So in other words, his idea is that the cholent spilling over into your salad is a problem. Or if I have potato and I put the ketchup on, it should also be a problem. Because it's a item that's still hot as long as it's a solid item. The only time we talk about kli rishon versus kli sheni is liquids. When you pour from a kli rishon to kli sheni, it cools it down. Why? because the air cooled it down. And then when it gets into another bowl, the walls of the bowl cool it down. But not if it's a hot item itself. It insulates itself. It stays warm for a lot longer. That's the Marshal's opinion. His cousin, the Ramah, Ramosh Israelis, much more famous, he says, no, there's no difference in salad and liquids. We assume even by solids, this is true. That something falls onto klisheni, onto the plate, onto the bowl, has a din like klisheni. Okay, so then going back to what Shimon said, for according to the Ramah, it should come out to be mutar. This is in your day, in Simon Sadi Dal. They argue about this. And that should come out, according to the Ramah, that it should be like a kli sheni. Okay, what is Sfaradim posek? They're posek like the Ramah on this one, not the Marshal. We assume it's like kli sheni. Now, what's the reason behind the Marshal? Let's just explain it a little bit more. What's the reason behind the Marshal? So, what's the difference between the kli rishon and the kli sheni in the first place? Why is the kli sheni not cook? It can make it very hot. The walls of the kli sheni aren't cold, so it's going to cool it down. Kli rishon stays hot for a long time. It's insulated. Kli sheni, it doesn't have insulation. But maybe you'll say, and this is the Marshal's idea, maybe what we could say is when the liquids go into a container, they fill up the size of the container. They don't have their own shape. And therefore, they're connected to the walls. They touch the walls. Their heat diffuses. It transfers to the walls. The walls are cold. It's going to cool down the food. However, if you have a solid, a potato, it doesn't take the shape of the walls. Therefore, you might have, it's touching one wall. It's not going to touch all four walls or all five walls of the bowl. It's going to touch one wall, just the bottom. So therefore, it's not going to diffuse. It's not going to go out. The heat's not going to come out and cool it down. What would you then say about rice? If you have rice, it's solid, but it takes up the size of the bowl. You make a lot of rice for Pesach, whatever, anytime. You have quinoa, you have something like lentils. It takes up the size of the bowl. Is that considered for the Marshal like a davar gush, a solid item that's kli rishon still, or that's not a problem? It's kli sheni even for the Marshal. So it depends. If we say the Marshal's reason is what we just said, that since it doesn't, solids don't take the shape of the container, they're not touching the walls, that's why it's a kli sheni, that's why it's a kli rishon. So over here, this rice does take the size of the walls. So maybe it should be a kli sheni. There's another explanation inside in the Marshal, which is maybe just foods are denser than liquids. I don't know if any you guys did in physics, what's the density difference between a gas and a liquid and a liquid and a solid. They're much, I think, what is it, 10 times? Something like that. The gas is, I think, 100 times. What? Shimon, you got this? Not the boiling point. The density of the molecules to one to another. The density of solids to liquids. Yes, absolutely. A lot less dense. Gas are even less dense than that. And yes, I think it's about 100 to 1, generally, between a gas of like air compared to water, and water to solids. I think the molecules are also about 100 or something like that. Much less dense than to a solid. Okay, it's definitely spread out more, the molecules. Okay, so now, for our purpose, did not know. I saw a thing in Yaki, yeah, it's according to our halacha. Rasavi, yeah. Reason. Wow. Does he quote there Rav Yitzchak Yosef? I thought he was not machmir on that. Okay. So I remember seeing something like that. I don't have my Teferet, but that's very good. Yeah, I have to try to save your Teferet from the Sardi base. Yeah, everything's stuck. What are we going to do? Anyway, so I think if we say that the pshat in the Marshal is because solids are more dense than liquid,
So then even rice is also more solid than liquids because it's a matter of density. It doesn't have to do with, does it take the shape of the kli or not? Okay? So it's a machloket. And as Shimon correctly pointed out, it's not even just a machloket amongst Ashkenazim. Even by Sardim, it's a machloket. What do we say about that? Okay. Now, what do you say about ketchup on top of the hot potato? So it sounds like this. If you think that the Marshal is right, that the hot potato is like clearly shown, so now, it depends. Could I put ketchup on top of my hot potato? Depends if ketchup is solid or it's liquid. Is ketchup solid or it's liquid? What do we say? Because it was already cooked. One time when they made the ketchup, the first time, they pasteurized it. They cooked it. Now I'm going to, it cooled down. It's in my fridge. I take it out, put it on the hot potato. Is ketchup solid or it's liquid? Okay. Why do you say liquid? Takes the shape of the container. Okay, very good. Roberto, you have an answer? You have an idea? Not sure, okay. Wow, did not know that. Okay, thank you. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, good to know. Fine. So it's a real big machloket, even to this day. What do we say about the Devar Gush? So let's figure this case out. So I'll tell you, there's two reasons we make kel with this ketchup on the potato. One reason is we follow either the Ramah. The Ramah says that Devar Gush is like klisheni, and the klisheni, the ketchup's not going to cook because it was already cooked once, and even though it's a liquid, we don't say liquids that are cooked once are kali bishul. If you have any liquid that was cooked once and you're going to cook it again, it's not going to be... You can cook it in kli sheni, there's no problem. So you can put milk into the coffee, even if it be kli rishon, whatever, because the milk was already cooked once. It just cooled down. So that's why, according to the Ramah, it should be totally fine. And even according to the Marshal, even though it's a kli rishon, maybe you could still be matir, because ketchup might be a solid, may not be a liquid. I know, Sal, you're right. The ketchup pours, and ketchup does take the size of a container, but it's very thick. And therefore, maybe you'll say it's like a solid. I saw in the Tiferet when I still had it, the quote halacha brura that ketchup is a solid. Okay? And some give an explanation, Ray Willie gives the following explanation. I didn't see all the footnotes in the halacha brura, but the explanations are like this. What makes something solid, what makes something liquid, might not be dependent on how thick and thin it is. It might depend on how you eat it. Are you trying to eat it to drink it, to get to quench your thirst, or are you trying to get a taste out of it? So maybe something that you're doing it for the good taste of it, so that's considered like a food, a salad. That's the pshat, maybe, and why ketchup is considered a salad. Now, that's a big chidush, because then you could even say soup, maybe, should be a salad, and we don't say that. So, you could say a different explanation, though, which is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe basically says, maybe it's something that's kind of thick, it stays in one spot. If you pour the ketchup, it doesn't pour so quickly and so easily. Maybe it's considered a salad. That's what Rav Moshe was mekel on the ketchup on the potato. Rav Shlomo Zalman was machmir. He didn't like that kula. He didn't like that kula because the ketchup is a liquid. The bottom line, it pours like salad. So machlok at Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Halacha Bra is mekel like Rav Moshe. And anyways, we said before, the Devar Gush is anyway a churma. Okay, so now what are we going back to? That's case number one with the ketchup. What do we say about the salad? What do you say? Soap? Salt. Salt is okay. You can put the salt in the chon. Because we said in Shulchan Aruch, the ikar is salt doesn't cook. Unless it's a kli rishon al gabe esh. Salt doesn't cook quickly. That's totally fine. What do you say about the salad? If you hold like the Ramah, then you could have the cholent splash over onto your salad, no problem. Why? Because it's not kali bishul, it's a kli sheni. You can cook in the kli sheni, no problem. What if you say like the Marshal and the Kaf HaChaim? Now we know the Shimon brought us so many opinions that do say like that Marshal. So now what are we going to say about the salad? How are we going to allow... let's say I have a salad and I want to put the cholent. Is that okay?
Not on top. I'm going to put it next to it, and then it's going to splat. It's going to spill into the salad. The Marshal said it even with anything on top of the salad, and liquid or salad. He said that he says it within your day, even about kalim, even with we treat the salad. Ikaradin, we assume the salad is like a klisheni, not a kli rishon. But if we're trying to be machbir for the Marshal, what should we do? Should you make, you could be careful, it's not so difficult. You put the cholent on this side of the plate, and then you make a little machitza, you put all the schnitzel and the kugel, which are already cooked anyway, and then you put the salad on the other side of the plate. Okay. So. It's mutar because, first of all, we follow the Rama. But I'll tell you another reason. Rosh Shlomo Zalman is a good reason. It's a psik resha delo nicha lei. It's not nicha. It's not a psik resha where you benefit. It doesn't make your salad taste better to have cholent on the salad. It makes it taste worse, if anything. So that's psik resha delo nicha lei. So what do we say? Psik resha delo nicha lei? Okay, so if it's a deraita, so then usually we're machmir. But anyway, over here is a big machloket, so it could be mekel, but first of all, because the aruch says mekel on psikrish l'onichalei, together with the fact that maybe this is totally mutar, as we said, because of the ramah. Okay? So I think that's okay. Even if it's deraita, because we have a safek seika. One safek is like the aruch, and another safek like the ramah. Yes, Shimon? Yeah, so Irui Nifsak HaKiluach only helps when you have a broken stream. I don't know if it's going to help according to the Marshal opinion, but it'll help in general. What it means is if you're making the tea or the coffee and you press the button on the urn and some of the liquids comes and you stop immediately. So it's a broken stream. That, according to everybody, is not going to be Mevashel Mama, Mevashel completely. It's only going to be Mevashel Kedei Klipa. That doesn't, but okay. That's not going to help 100% for the salad case, I think, according to the Marshal, but I think we can make hell on the salad case. I don't think it's such a. What? Yeah, I think so. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. One more case of Eroy before we go on to another sip. What would you say about a baby bottle that you want to pour hot water from the urn onto the bottle? I have milk inside the bottle. And the milk is cold, and I press the urn, hot water is going to come and splash onto the bottle. Is that going to be mutar or asur? Or I need to do a cliché knee? The milk is already cooked one time, it's pasteurized. But I only need a cliché knee, but I can't do irui kli rishon. No. Yeah, we're machmir. Very good, very good. So I'll tell you Kula. Yach Yosef brings this Kula. He says, since we hold Irui is only Mevashal Kedei Klipa, when you pour something, it only cooks a little bit, a peel. A peel like you have an onion peel. Very thin. For most foods, it doesn't matter. Because if you cook a peel of it, it's asur to cook even a peel of it. He said, but when you have a plastic bottle, like in like a baby bottle, the peel of the bottle, the plastic is cooking. I don't care. You can cook the plastic as long as the plastic is not melting. It's okay to cook the plastic. As long as you're not cooking the food, that's going to be mutar. Since the irui doesn't go onto the food directly, therefore you could be matir, even irui kli rishon. Okay. Chidush. Kli sheni, not for kali bishul. We're machmir kli sheni if it's kali bishul. If it cooks quickly. So tea, we're machmir. Coffee, maybe we're machmir and klisheni. But in bread, maybe we're machmir and klisheni. But Lama said, most other things were not machmir. I want to... Yeah. Okay, so the good ha'ara, the way to do it is you want to either... you can't, if you have it in the klisheni,
Yeah, water that's going to be in a cliché knee. You could, if you have water in a cliché knee, you could put water inside, and that's not a problem. Yeah. The cold water, putting Irikli Rishon, pouring from the hot urn onto the hot water, into the cold water, is a problem, unless you're doing it so that the result will be, since the water mixes very quickly, if the result will be not Yatso Lettuce, not so hot, that's going to be okay. So that's the way to do this. Now I want to bring, let's go to Sif Yidchat, skipping to the end of the Siman, and we'll cover anything in between that we need to cover. We'll do it outside. What happens when you want to stir a cholent or anything that's not fully cooked on Shabbat, or you took it off the fire and you want to stir it or take food out on Shabbat, and then you want to eat it, or you want to eat it later, whatever. You want to stir it. Let's say you take off the cholent Friday night, and you see the food's not cooked. Could you stir it and then put it back? That's the main question over here. So Shulchan Aruch says, and this is, it could also be a good example if you have cholent even Shabbat day, and you're not sure if it got cooked, and you're going to take it out. Also, I'll just add one more cholent thing once we're adding it, because it'll be a very fun discussion. Some people put bones in their cholent. Some people put chicken bones or meat bones. They put the meat with the bone. It gives a taste. And they let it cook for a long time, and the bones get soft, and then it gives taste. What happens if you take off the cholent Friday night, and it's cooked? It takes only, 6 hours, between 4 hours on the high setting, 6 hours medium setting, 8 hours on the low setting, but I cooked it from Friday morning, so the food is already cooked. Could I then, Friday night, take it off, eat some of the cholent, and put it back? Or, even though the cholent is cooked, the bones are going to continue to cook, because bones are basically never going to be edible. Or is that a problem with the bones? Okay, and you hear the question about the bones? You're not, so that's an important question. You're not going to eat the bones, you're going to eat the taste of the bones. Dr. Eli Levy, Shalom Aleichem. The tea, very good, exactly. We don't eat the tea leaves itself, and yet it's a problem because you don't eat the tea leaves, but you have the taste of the tea leaves. Very good. Rosh Schechter says, so one time he saw a rabbi wrote a tshuva, he thought it was a joke book. He said that there's no bishul on tea leaves because you don't eat the tea leaves. He said it's not true. We say there's bishul even on non-foods. It says in the Gemara you can have wood chips or metal can have bishul. So he thought it's not true. By tea leaves you can also cook. The only thing is, it has to change the form of the food a little bit. So it has to make this, for food, it has to make the food more edible. Or for non-foods, it has to change it. So wood chips have to get soft to hard, or hard to soft, and metal has to change completely. Anyway, let's go now to Sif Yudchen, and we'll get to the cholent with the bones. Ha'ilfas ha'kedera, shavir mirotchim ala or. Let's say I took a pot off the fire, imo nepashal kozorko imo tzi bekaf mehen. If it's uncooked, I cannot stir it, and not only can I not stir it, I can't even put in a spoon to ladle out some of the food. Shenimsa magiz, because it comes out when you're putting in a ladle to take out food, it's like you're stirring it. And that's going to be mikare bishul. It's making it cook quicker. Ika mishum mevashel, it's cooking on Shabbat. So therefore, Friday night, if you have the uncooked chamin, or the uncooked rice, and I see it's on the fire, so I say, hey, I just want to stir it to see if it's burnt on the bottom. Not okay, unless it's already cooked. If you know it's fully cooked, that's okay. What if you're not sure if it's fully cooked? You have the cholent, and it cooked 4 hours. Maybe cooked, maybe not cooked. Could you turn it over, put in the spoon to pick it up, to turn it over in order to see if it's cooked? What? This is a big question, exactly. Is it machloket if this is deraita or derabanan? Exactly. So lamasa, I would not do this, but I had a lot of discussions about this once with Rabbi Wiederblink. I think there's sometimes what to be mekel. Rabbi Wiederblink disagreed with me. I thought there's nothing to be mekel. Halacha Berurah discusses this type of questions in his footnotes at length. This is Deraita, Derabanan, Gnumi Mikel, Psik Rishal, Onichale. I'll tell you the case where it happened. One time a guy, usually he puts in food in his oven Friday night that he's going to eat that night. So he leaves it and he turns off the oven. He leaves on the oven, or he turns off the oven before Shabbat, or he leaves on a timer for an hour and it's going to go off. And this way, he takes out the food Friday night and he closes the door. Nothing's left inside and that's okay to do. No problem. So far, so good. It makes sense. Then he said, also sometimes what he does is he makes yabra or whatever, meatballs or stuffed cabbage or something, and he puts it in the frozen, raw, whatever, not cooked, in the oven Friday afternoon, turns on the oven, leaves it Friday night completely, Shabbat day, he opens it up and takes it out. That's okay as well, because both cases, he's not cooking on Shabbat. In terms of Shehiyah, it's not a problem either way, because if it's raw, it's not a problem Shehiyah, and if it's already cooked, it's not a problem Shehiyah. Okay, now, what happens if, not a problem for Shia, if it's for the next day, according to the Tosas Rid, according to some Rishonim, lehalacha, we mitstaref that. We don't try to rely on that, but we will rely on it if it's raw. If it's raw, we rely on that. Yeah. Kedera Chayta. So, what would you say the following? He made a mistake. 1 week, he did both. He put in cooked food for Friday night, and he put in the raw meatballs that are going to, or stuffed cabbage for tomorrow Shabbat day. So he opens it up Friday. Now he's asking me Friday night in shul at mincha time. Says, what am I going to do? I'm going to come home. I'm going to want to take out my food to eat Friday night. But then you can't close the door because the minute you close the door, you're making the food cook quicker. Are you allowed to, what are you supposed to do? Say again, you should take out the food. So he's going to take out all the food that's already cooked, and the one thing, the stuffed cabbage that's raw, he's going to leave till tomorrow. The problem is, you cannot close the door of the oven if food that's not cooked is left inside the oven. It's in Yaakov Yosef, it's in the post scheme. You can't close the door of the oven, because when you close the door of the oven, it makes the food cook quicker. It's like lifting the lid exactly of a pot. Very good. So the best option is ask a non-Jew. If you can ask a non-Jew to close the door, it'll be psik resh. You can do a minute of the nachar psik resh. That'd be fine. Ooh, excellent, excellent. So I think we'll be matir the bishol akum. I'll tell you why. Because the Jew put it in and it was going to cook anyway. It just mikare bishul. So in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, Shin Gimel, were mekel on if the Jew started the cooking, and it would cook on his own anyway. The goy just made it faster. Dr. Levy, you have an idea here? You're adding? Okay, very good. Okay, I'll say one other case of that cholent, and then I want to say what my answer, my thought on that, on the oven case. The cholent, let's say, I forgot to plug in the cholent. I forgot to turn it on. I made the cholent at the crock pot, but I didn't turn it on Friday night. I didn't turn it on. And I realized after Shabbat started. So what am I going to do? So if I can get a non-Jew to turn it on, so I want to do that. But the problem is, bishul akum. So that's going to be more of an issue. So there, Ashkenazi poskim might rely on the opinion of the Ra'ah, the opinion that even if the non-Jew does all the cooking, but at the end, the Jew stirs it a little bit and makes it a little better, that'll be mutar. Okay, mistamek v'yafilo. But the Sfaradim don't follow that opinion of the Ra'ah. I saw Rav Amar, Rishlom Amar had some case like this, a blackout with cholent and all thing, and he said, rely on the Ra'ah. But anyway, I don't know if we follow the Ra'ah. He's not brought in Shechan Ruch, he's not brought in the Beit Yosef at all. What did he say, the Moroccans? You'll get it? Okay, so fine, we could do that. So I'll say what I said, what I thought in that case with the cholent is, if you can, if you can get a non-Jew and, well, okay, whatever, it's a complicated thing. You confuse the non-Jew. You trick him a little bit. You say, can you turn off the power? Can you turn off the fuse box? He turns it off. And then you plug in the chillin pot, or you turn the knob to on. And you say, oh, the lights are working, everything's working, can you turn on the fuse? He turns it on, that's not bishul akum, because it says in the Gemara that it's not bishul akum, unless the goy is mechavin the bishul. Here he's just mechavin to fix my lights. So if you confuse him, you could do it like that. The best thing, I think, easy, is just, not to have the chillin, not to have that in that case. Okay, or rely on Rav Amar with that ra'ah if you need to. Okay. Coming back to the oven case, so the kula I was trying to think of is maybe you open the door, you take out all the food that's cooked, you eat that Friday night, and the cholent that's not cooked, you see, is it cooked? If it's already cooked, so then you could close the door. If it's not cooked, then you put it in the freezer, you put it in the fridge, you eat it Saturday night, Sunday, some other time, you eat it next week, whatever. So how are you going to be able to tell? So I thought you take it out of the oven, and then while it's out of the oven, then you take out a little bit. Now that involves our sif. That involves our question if you're allowed to stir something that's off the fire. So I thought if something's off the fire, it's a machlokhi, is it deraita or derabanan? Because some are mekel, they say it's only like a psik resha. It's the cooking or it's a gram of cooking. So it's only derabanan, it's a magid mishnah. It's a machloket magid mishnah and other rishonim. Rifa says derabanan, says machloket deraita to derabanan. And plus, maybe here it's not nichalai. I'm not trying to cook it. All I'm trying to do is either if it's cooked, I'm going to put it back, and if it's not cooked, I'm going to put it in the freezer. So I thought maybe you could involve safek the aruch, safek derabanan. But lamaaseh, I was not actually ready to be mekel because I asked her a weeder blink, and he said, don't do that. I the person who asked me, I was matir, but later I retract. Later he came out. He told me he asked a non-Jew, and it wasn't an issue. If this happened another time, I'm not sure I'd be ready to be lenient. I would want to see if Chaim Avadia would ever be lenient on that. I would assume right now. I'd assume this is not a simple question. Okay, but the minute that you put in a spoon and you turn stuff over a little bit, it's mixing. Also, if you want to see it's cooked on the bottom, not just on the top. But I'll tell you, okay, so bottom line says, Shacharo, you cannot stir. What about when it's cooked? Im nipa shel kol sarkos, and the Maran in the middle of Yudchet says like this, if the food is already cooked, that's okay, midin ha-Torah to mix it. Midin Rabbanan, you still cannot mix it while it's on the fire, even if it's cooked. Because we're it's mechzik kamasha. It looks like you're cooking. As long as the food's on the fire, you cannot add food to the fire, even if it's solid. You can't add spices. You can't take pepper and throw it into your chol while it's on the fire. Because mechzik kamasha, it looks like cooking. So you take it off and then put in the pepper. Same thing with stirring. You cannot stir it while it's on the fire. Off the fire, that's mutar. The Mishnah Berurah brings a machloket about this. Kuf Yud Gimel. He says, if it was off the fire, afil bezeh asur kishalon nevashal kol zarko. But if it's fully cooked, even if it's on the fire, if it's on, a machloket about the following case. If it's off the fire, you can certainly spoon something out, and even mix it. But if it's fully cooked, then it's off the fire. However, what if it's fully cooked and on the fire? Are you allowed to spoon something out? That's a machloket. If it's fully cooked and it's on the fire, what do we say about that? So he brings a machloket achronim. He says it sounds like in the Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, it's mutar, and the Eli Rabba says asur. So I'll tell you the nafkamina. I think I saw that the Or Litzion and Rav Masas and others are mekel on this question. What do you do if you want to have cholent Friday night, and if you're afraid to take off the cholent out of the pot off the crock pot, you're not going to be able to put it back. Why? Because there are questions about hachazara, to return things into a crock pot. Okay, so and questions of hadmana, questions. So yes, could we figure out how to be mekel with that? Maybe. But better really very much not to put it back into the crock pot. So you want to leave it there. So what do? You open the lid, you see it's already fully cooked. You know it's cooked before. You open the crock pot, you spoon something out, and you put it into your bowl and you eat it. Problem is, are you allowed to spoon something out? It's like on the fire. So that's where the Sardi poskim esal halacha bura is mekel on this. If you're not going to be able to take it off and put it back, the Ashkenazi poskim prefer doing the following: they take off the crockpot, spoon it into your bowl, and then put the crockpot back. If you could put it back, you could put it back. But because the Mishnah Berurah brought this opinion, who is machmir on that question? Okay, now one thing with the bones, with the cholent bones. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, many years ago, wrote, he, like Shimon said a long time, 10 minutes ago, he said, who eats the bones? Nobody eats the chicken bones. No one eats those bones. So therefore, if you put the bones, the meat bones, the chicken bones in your cholent, it's fine. If your food is cooked, you started Friday morning, Friday night, you want some cholent, you can close the, you open the cover, you take out some cholent, you can close the pot even though there are bones inside. The bones are going to continue to get soft. It's okay because no one eats the bones. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Orbach, said he doesn't understand. It's asur because the bones are cooking. It doesn't matter if it's a food or not a food. So Rav Moshe said, what do you mean? Bottom line, you're not getting any more out of it. Whatever taste is coming out is going to come out anyway. It doesn't matter. You're not cooking it to eat it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, yeah, but there are some people who eat it. So Rav Moshe basically responded, in America, people don't eat the chicken bones anymore. He said, people used to, but not so common anymore. In Israel, some people do. Okay. It depends, even America and Israel, whatever. But that was that machloket. On that machloket, Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, he had the following, he has a following chidush. He said, maybe you can leave the cholent with the bones in the pot and close it, because ikar intent is for the cholent that's cooked, not to eat, not for the bones. Even though the taste is going to come out of the bones and the bones are going to soften, still it should be mutar. Why? Because I have ikar and tafel kavana. My intent my majority of my intent is for the regular cholent, rest of the cholent, to put that back, not for the bones. And he has a whole arichud, a big pilpul of how to deal with ikar and tafel in hilchot bracho, with hilchot Shabbat, when you have carrying something with the bed, the stroller, all the different cases of ikar and tafel, and malachas shein tzrich legufa, all the fame, big machloka between Ran and Rashman, many examples. He says is talui on this question. In Yalki Yosef, he references this essay. Berner Scheinberg is a big chidush. Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote him a letter back. He said, I see chidushim here, but I don't agree. So Rav Scheinberg had a lot of chidushim. When Rav Yitzchak is discussing the fact that we allow majority liquids, majority solids, if you have meatballs with gravy, you could put that back on Shabbat day, because as long as majority is solid, he brings in this essay of Rav Scheinberg, Ikar V'Tafel, the whole essay. Okay, fine. Anyway, I want to strengthen everyone. Now we're Rosh Chodesh, Good Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, Nisan. This is the month of Geula, a time when our Avotenu were redeemed from Mitzrayim, all the Klipot of Tuma, and just like they took out all the Klipot, they made Mitzrayim empty from all the shells of Tuma that they had. They took all the wealth of Mitzrayim with them in order to empty it out. I saw the Avir Yaakov says this, of Yaakov Abuchasera. They took out all the sources of Tuma from Mitzrayim when they left, and were trying to extract the Tuma, trying to Metaher Mitzrayim, in order so they should go up from there to Matan Torah. And Amir Tashem, we're going to do the same. Amir Tashem, this month will be the month of Geulah for all of us. Chazak Baruch.